everyone. This is Climate Chat South Sound, Climate Alliance of the South Sound. Today we have Marilyn Kimmerling.
Hi.
And Benita Moore.
Hello.
And Darren Moore.
Hey.
And me, Aoife Pasquale, with Climate Alliance of the South Sound.
And you are in for a treat today. We invited Benita and Darren Moore here for an interview, but also to educate you and inspire you and fill you with ideas and passion. So we're going to start with a little bit of personal history. And we're old enough so that we've all got a lot of personal history. Benita, can you tell me a little bit about how you came to get involved in Native Daily Network and Ancestral Waters and all the things you do in your current campaign?
Sure. As I already said, my name's Benita Moore, but my Indian name is Tasagiewi, which means the cane. And it's my great-great-grandmother's name that she was born in Sitting Bull's camp, and I'm Hunkpapa from Standing Rock, enrolled over there at Standing Rock. And that's where our story started off. We had already started Native Daily Network, and then Standing Rock kicked off, and we went over there and learned a whole lot about my culture, relearned a lot of things about my culture. And then we were told to take the eighth fire back to, because it's seven, Standing Rock is a seven council fires. And so we're supposed to take the eighth fire back to our own places of that we resided in and fight the fights that were going on there. Mm. And so we came back, and that's how we thought we defeated, when we defeated the methanol plant, we thought that the LNG would be defeated as well. And it wasn't that way.
No, it wasn't. And I think that was in 2016 that Standing Rock occurred and that you started Native Daily Network, right?
Yeah, we actually started Native Daily Network a few months before Standing Rock. So it was kind of accidental that for us, it was all fortuitous, I guess, or certainly it led us in the direction we should go in. But when we started Native Daily Network, it was after a tragedy. Benita's eldest son had just been murdered on the east side of Tacoma.
Oh, my goodness.
In 2015. And just a month later, she was looking around on TV for some Native programming. And we couldn't find any. And we have a granddaughter that we're raising, you know, a Native granddaughter. And Benita wanted to show her some jingle dancing.
Oh.
And we weren't able to find it. And so it just got us on this trend that, hey, you know what? Natives are invisible. They're not being listened to. We need to advocate. And, you know, the reason that these bad outcomes happen, you know, what happened with her son was perpetrated by another Native man. And these things happen in communities because people are ignored and marginalized. And, you know, we need to be part of that solution.
Thank you. Wow. So, Darren, what is your background? How did you come? Because I detect an accent. I know you're not from around these parts, are you, stranger?
Well, I'm the only one in the room without an accent. That's what I noticed. But, so, yeah, I'm from England. I came over here. Benita invited me here. I've been in Tacoma ever since I came to the U.S. in 2003. This is my home. I built a life here. I have a family here.
I'm so glad you're here.
Yeah, I'm glad I'm here too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what inspired you to do the work that you do here?
You know, in life, you know, we're led in certain directions. I've always had a life of caring. I was raised by a disabled grandmother, you know, and I saw the challenges she faced every day. And it gives you empathy for people that are struggling right from the beginning, you know, and so that you live that kind of life by default. And more than ever, the environment has become an issue over my life, you know, and
I'm nodding if you're listening.
Yeah. And I'm 49. I was born in 1975. And so, you know, I was just about old enough to hear all the acid rain stuff in the 80s and watch that trend and see the world actually come together to fix the ozone layer with the CFC ban, which is still an amazing achievement for mankind. And, you know, and see us win in some places, but lose heavily in others and continue to go backwards.
But you have to keep trying, don't you?
And it's come to the point where you can't just stand on the sidelines. We have to be in the mix now.
So here's a little disclaimer. I met Benita and Darren way back when we were first working on keeping the methanol refinery from coming into Tacoma, to Nalley Valley. And I kind of think that we were allowed to win that because they were doing all this maneuvering about the liquefied natural gas. There's nothing really natural about it, by the way. Refinery / storage facility in the tide flats. And so we worked together on that. And I have just such respect for them and love for them. So we are kind of blessed to be able to have them here today.
Hey, we have that love for you too, Marilyn.
we
absolutely adore you. You're amazing.
Yes,
you're a legend to us.
So you might want to tell the listener a little bit about Native Daily Network and also about Ancestral Waters.
Well, my story is just about the same as Darren's. I was raised on the res. I mean, I spent a lot of time on the res in abject poverty. And the reservations back there are nothing like even the, you know, a lot of the reses here. And anyways, through that time, I learned respect for our land. And it wasn't just a respect, it was a knowledge that we are the land. And it's not like we own it, we are it. And all the relatives out there, the trees, the winged, the four-legged, all of them, the insects even, are relatives. And so that knowledge stayed with me since I was 9 until, you know, even now. Anyways, so when we started hanging out with Marilyn and the rest of the, what do I call it?
Usual suspects.
The usual suspects, yeah. So when we started hanging out, Darren and I started live streaming everything, every action. We were trying to create some history and archival stuff. And I loved that part of it. I loved getting on there and talking to everybody and stuff. And we got like at one point 52,000 follower or, you know, people on the live stream. Anyways, we kept doing that, and that's how we did it for at least, what, 3-4 years, Darren?
Well, the live streaming, I think a bit less, but, you know, the 2016 was kind of like peak live stream time on Facebook. Mm-hmm. Standing Rock had occurred, and it was the first major movement where people started to use Facebook Live to disseminate information. Mm-hmm. And it was so successful, and we had learned a lot when we were out there about how that was done. And when we came back to Tacoma, we were kind of the only ones doing it. And it was actually 120,000 the first night we went live on the pipeline.
Wow.
Yeah, we had 120,000 people watching. And those numbers kind of maintained for quite a while. And on the day of Block the Gates, which was December 2017, which was the celebration really of your acquittal. It was just a couple of days afterwards. We had over 1 million people that day watching that live stream.
And so, then it built from there because we had a series of people that did civil disobedience.
Don't you just love it?
And they all were successful.
Yeah,
but not in stopping Puget Sound Energy.
Not yet.
Oh, that's a beautiful thought. Now, Aoife, you have a background in environmental science, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
So you got involved in what way? Through that? With this?
Yeah, actually, during the methanol fight is when I was in college at the Evergreen State College in Olympia. And that's sort of where I got my start into doing the environmental sciences and also it sort of growing that hunger for more as well and wanting to do something more tangible and material for the community.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if somebody wanted to find your website, where would they go?
That would be nativedailynetwork.org.
Nativedailynetwork.org, all one word?
Yeah, nativedailynetwork.org. I'll say that in an English accent for you.
Anything capitalized there?
No.
Okay. And I went on it just before I came up here today just to make sure that I was current. And it gives you the history. You can go on the history. You can go on to their mission. You can go on to campaigns. And then from campaigns, you can refine the search to environmental campaigns, different kinds of campaigns. And there's a campaign that you're getting ready to launch. What is that called? And tell me about it.
Climate Catastrophe Ground Zero. And
that sounds really serious. Yeah. It is.
So after all this time, and Marilyn, you'll know this, right? They've been using that term climate change for years. And people are sick of hearing it. And it doesn't matter what your politics are. Because if you believe that bad things are happening, you realize that that statement just doesn't cut the mustard. Mm. And if you don't believe it, you can say, well, everything's cyclical, and you can be correct to a degree. Mm-hmm. But because climate change really doesn't tell us anything's happening other than that the climate's changing. And the city got a little closer in 2019 when it declared a climate emergency. And it told us that there was something bad happening with the climate, but it still wouldn't state it. So climate catastrophe tells us what's happening.
I think that's stronger than the term that I've been using, which is climate chaos.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Catastrophe is much stronger.
Yeah. I think the other C word was a collapse. So, yeah. You know, so either I think chaos, catastrophe, collapse mm-hmm. all work pretty well.
And ground zero puts you right there.
It does. And Tacoma, for many reasons, is a ground zero community. And people might not realize it because some of Tacoma is just gorgeous. You know, we have this amazing, I say it all the time, you know, I could have gone several hundred miles south from my home in England and been on the French Mediterranean coast and just, you know, living it up there and being in beautiful weather. But instead I came 5,000 miles to the same weather. But the Puget Sound is every bit as beautiful as the Mediterranean. It's absolutely gorgeous. So.
And why do you feel like, because the listener may or may not know, mm-hmm. so why is it ground zero?
Well, there are several reasons. And I think, one, we have a city council that has permitting issues when it comes to negative industries, and that has given us a massive burden, pollution burden in this city.
Perhaps that's because they don't have climate change or chaos or catastrophe even addressed as a goal.
Well, there is a climate 2030 plan in Tacoma, and it would be nice if they paid attention to even it was nowhere near good enough, but it would be nice if they could even pay attention to that, which of course they don't. Almost the entire of South Tacoma, which is something like 70% of the city mass area, has a negative 25-year life expectancy compared to the rest of the state.
It just happens to be where we live.
Yeah. Mm. And that also includes South Tacoma, where CAS are fighting the mega warehouse
right.
project. So we already have a neighborhood. That's just around the corner from our home, too. And so there's already a neighborhood heavily burdened with negative 25 years. I mean, that's some kind of ecocide on the people at that point. Mm, I mean,
absolutely.
And it's not a small amount, it's a third of a lifespan.
Well, I'm going to go to the city manager and ask her for my 25 years back.
mm-hmm. Yeah. And
yeah.
Be interesting to hear what they say. But and that's the problem. You know, we've all spoken to those people and those decision makers, and it feels like it's on. It's just going nowhere. And so, you know, we're in this situation where all these different things are happening in the city, and we could probably list more right now, but the important thing about CCGO is actually the community saying, you know what, we're not going to wait for decision makers to make more bad decisions. We're just going to do that. We're going to start, we're not going to wait till they stop polluting before we start making it better.
Right.
Right. And we could wait and wait and wait, and it just gets worse. And we've got to give care. And and we've got to go out there and make our city better than we found it.
Instead of saying no, we're saying yes.
So I understand that the climate catastrophe ground zero campaign involves getting different groups involved.
Yeah.
As CAST, we're really excited to have been invited to join Climate Catastrophe Ground Zero because, well, for me, a lot of us started the first time I watched Ancestral Waters, and I saw a lot of familiar faces, and it sort of made me realize what we already live in such a strong community for activism, and there's already been a fire burning here for a long time. And this felt like a way that we could, you know, all contribute together towards this fire and sort of keep the torch burning. And, you know, it's undeniable that when we're working together, our communal strength is stronger than anything else. And it's just such an honor for me to be able to take part in, you know, actions that have been building for decades and work with some of the legendary activists in Tacoma and, yeah, some other groups, too, that are part of the coalition, like 350 Tacoma, who've been awesome and really helped us CAST grow as an organization. And yeah, it's great working with Native Daily Network, who we learn so much from you guys all the time, especially when it comes to media.
Yeah, we feel like that we learn from you too, you know, and I think we had a little conversation about it before you came
in.
We
sure did. We talked about how organized CAST members are and how it's such a pleasure to watch the way people do the work and apportion the work and volunteer and break down the tasks. And you guys are, I know I'm saying you guys, but, and I'm one of you, but CAST rocks.
Yeah, absolutely phenomenal. Superb.
Thank you so much.
So what other organizations have jumped on the...
So you know, obviously the Water Warriors are there. We have Washington Physicians for Social Responsibility.
Excellent.
Black Panthers Washington. And they're also representing the houseless neighbors in Tacoma. Important part of this campaign is that people are being treated as part of the environmental crisis, and that includes all displaced people. So we've also got La Resistencia, who support those down on the tide flats. Do you remember any names? I was trying to remember them earlier. I had a list at home, and I was trying to remember them off the top of my head.
Well, I'm sure you have the Raging Grannies in your corner.
Communities for a Healthy Bay.
Oh, good.
They've joined us.
And I do believe the IWW and probably other unions will be willing to...
Yeah, and so I'm glad you brought that up, Marilyn, because this is something that's not been done in environmentalism before, is to work with labor right from the beginning, right? Yes. And the great thing about working for labor, we can do a few things, right? And so industry is going to be naturally reluctant to work with us. They're worried about the messaging. They're worried about their branding. They think we're just a nuisance. But labor are a bit different. And usually by the time we're in a campaign, something's been permitted, it's already been sold to labor as a job builder. And so we're already starting from a negative. But this way we can turn around and we can say, hey, you know what? We don't have proper data about the air quality where you work. But if you can, through your union, can get this purple air monitor installed on the side of the building, we can get that data within 3 months. You know, that's to us a win.
That's a real clear example of the city not acting, but working from a different angle in the ground up.
Yeah. And then all the data we get, we will share with all stakeholders, city included. I mean, that's our goal is to make sure that that data is democratized immediately. Then another thing that labor can do is there's an initiative within CCGO called Tacoma POPs. POPs stands for Pockets of Paradise. Mm-hmm. And it's making these small intentional green spaces, hopefully using native trees and plants where we can. A bench somewhere people can have an outdoor space that's relatively healthy in industrial spaces. Several of those would make a massive difference to the even emotional health of the workers there.
It would.
And but throughout the city, we need these. And, you know, so that we need labor to be able to pull those ones off.
It's a great idea. So I hear a couple of different tasks. And when are you launching this?
Uh-huh. You want to talk about that, Benita?
It'll be on October 5th. The time?
Okay. 11 to 3.
11 to 3, right. October 5th at Urban Grace.
Which is 702 Market Street.
At 702 Market Street, October the 5th, 11 to 2.
11 to 3.
11 to 3. Is October 5th the weekend?
It's Saturday.
It's Saturday,
so October. So free parking on the street.
Okay. And I'm so excited. I wouldn't miss this for anything. So Saturday, October the 5th, 11 to 3 at Urban Grace, free parking. And of course, the buses are a good way to get about, or your bicycle if you can. And what's going to happen?
So we're going to have a launch event that is several aspects. There's going to be a press release. Groups are going to be tabling. There's going to be an opportunity to take part in a community art project. There will be breakout panels throughout the 4 hours. And they will be done in a kind of dynamic way amongst the crowd rather than on a stage. And just lots of opportunity to meet and connect and network with all the people doing this amazing work in the city.
And I'm sure there's going to be, I know it'll be fun doing serious work.
And I should mention here, so this year, part of the CCGO creation, and really kind of hammering home, and Aoife will know about this too, I was part of the Tacoma Pierce County Climate Leadership cohort this year. And so I kind of firmed up the developing of this when I kind of became a part of that as a project that we would do. And so the Tacoma Tree Foundation and other organizations are also going to be involved. But I just wanted to give a shout out to that cohort, and largely because that was one of the things the city put in place with the Declaration of Climate Emergency and the Action Plan for 2030. And although the people that ran the cohort were wonderful, the other people that turned up were wonderful, the panels that the city sent were terrible. And they didn't tell the truth.
No.
And they misled people. And they actually got visibly upset and lied and got angry when I just mentioned 350 Tacoma. So, you know.
I feel sorry for people that place themselves in that position.
Yeah.
You know. It's sad.
It is. It is. And you know, this is a city that we all obviously love. We invest our time and our energy in. We love our city.
Yes.
And us demanding that the decision makers, the people we pay to make good decisions, we demand that they make those good decisions on our behalf. When they don't, that doesn't mean we don't love our city. And you know, I see sometimes the rhetoric that comes out from the city treats activists in that way, and it's just so untrue. We're the opposite of not caring.
Yeah, it's true. Aoife, where would you like to go now in this conversation?
Yeah, definitely. Actually, I wanted to ask you both, what do you see as being one of the most effective ways to engage and change in your community?
That's a question right there.
You know,
well, the truth is that there are millions of ways, and you know, I think the best way that I've learned is to everyone to play to their strength, and don't be outside your comfort zone too much. And we're going to be outside our comfort zone doing some activism sometimes, but we need everyone to be at their best. And there are so many different varied talents involved in activism all the time. And each one of us should be lifted up to the best of what we can do and supported by each other.
Yeah.
And if we do that, we achieve stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think it's being able to know what is needed in Tacoma. You know, I mean, there's so many different aspects to how it can be cleaned up, how it can be changed, you know. And we put in 2 years, we're starting with a two-year plan. And so I think the inclusivity, you know, being very inclusive to our neighbors and, you know, putting aside the political aspect of, you know, whether we get along with them or not, and being able to just include them and catch them up on what's going on around Tacoma and how they can help.
And I think listening to how they interpret the problem kind of sometimes helps me understand how I can communicate with them,
right?
What their framework is,
and that goes for all of us too, Marilyn. We're all different, you know, and so We might have written CCG Zero, but now it's alive. It's the communities. And so this isn't just going to be shaped, you know, we've kind of given it its push start and pushed it off the, you know, now it's a, everyone's going to have a say in how it's driven and right. how it looks. And
there's so many aspects to it. And whatever aspect that you mention to people, a lot, you see people perk up and say, oh, I can do that. Well, I'd like to do mm-hmm. that. You know, so that's.
Yeah, it's like we were saying before you got here, Eva, the evening that Jim and I came back and was talking about the importance of statistics. And she went into her description and she asked what people thought of it. Mm. And I had a really negative response. But I learned so much because another member just was on fire. He loved numbers. Mm. And that was mm-hmm. his strength. And just because it's not mine doesn't mean it's not valuable.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So do you have any one thing or two things that you're most proud of in terms of successes that you've experienced?
We got a Martin Luther King Jr. Award.
Yeah.
I'm really, really proud of that.
Yes.
We got that from Conversation 253 on Martin Luther King Jr. Day. And
how did I miss that?
I don't know. And then
it was during COVID.
I'm very proud of Ancestral Waters.
Oh yeah.
Mm. What we did, what we contributed to that collectively. You know, every person in there spoke from their heart. Mm. You know, I gotta really be thankful for the genius of my husband here, Darren, because he took a bunch of live feeds and made a story out of it, you know, and that's just ingenious.
It is.
Anyway, so.
You know, if you could study anything to like the nth degree so you understand it, I kind of did that with the LNG fight when I was making Ancestral Waters, having to rewatch all those live streams again. And it just really kind of an eye opener, you know, seeing what we did well and what was less effective and watching it back with kind of a more cold heart, you know, it was quite informing. And I think that has also informed how we're going to go forward with CCG Zero. It was a great movement, but it wasn't the best managed movement. And I think there was a lot of people that were new to that kind of level of activism.
Right.
And a lot of expectations and stuff. And just so having something a bit more formal, and already having experienced activists, and I'm going to include Cass in that. They might look to us as the old hats, but you know they've done so much work over the last year that they've caught us up already. So, they're great.
Massive respect.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And you know, this is what gives me hope in this city. This go back to loving the city again. And you know, I looked in that Zoom room last night, which was the coalition, first big coalition meeting for CCG Zero. And, exactly. And well, it was the first big one, you know, where people turned up. And it was just great. You know, I almost had like a little tear in my eye at the end because it's just like this community is a wonderful place.
So was that an in-person coalition or was it Zoom?
It was Zoom. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And We're going to be having these weekly. If people go to ccgzero.org, that will take them to the campaign webpage, and there's a link there to sign up so they can get email updates.
So CCG0 stands for Climate Catastrophe Ground Zero.
Yeah.
That'll help you remember the acronym. .org. .org. CCG0.org.
Yeah.
And that will take you to the website, which will take you to the campaigns.
So that will take you direct to the page.
The page.
Yeah, so it'll take you deeper into the website.
Okay.
So you don't have to go through the rest of it.
Okay.
And then, of course, once you're there, you're going to be tempted to spend some time and look around at the other pages. And then you can look at Ancestral Waters.
You might be tempted on October 5th to come down to Urban Grace. Yeah. And what was the address at Urban Grace?
702 Market.
702 Market, between 11 and 3, and find out what's going on and maybe even get involved.
Yeah, and come mm-hmm. and, you know, meet everyone. There's going to be a raffle. There's going to be great prizes, you know, and that, like I said, a community art project. So if people want to be part of something that's going to be long term in the city, and yeah. it'll be a great opportunity.
Now, I'll be recording WOB Radio at that time, but maybe I could get them to postpone it and we could all go down.
Mm-hmm. There we go. Mm-hmm.
I'll have to see. So what else? Let's see. There's upcoming events. Do you want to take that?
Yeah, definitely. Actually, I wanted to highlight a little bit something Benita said earlier, which was hearing the felt needs of the community, because our neighbors know what's impacting them the most, and they know what their needs are. And, you know, as a small group like CAS is, we can't just solve everything. We need to work with the whole community. Everyone needs to stand up and get out there and work with us and work together as South Tacoma, as all of Tacoma, and really push back, like we were talking about, against the city manager, who has always put profit over people. And CAS's mission statement is to empower, organize, mobilize South Sound communities to improve our lives through environmental action. And we focus on the felt needs of the people in our community and base our actions around that. And I think that Climate Catastrophe Ground Zero really embodies that as well, because, you know, such a large coalition with all these different groups, that helps everyone's different struggles be heard and seen. You know, like the Black Panthers fighting for Black liberation and La Resistencia fighting for migrants' rights. These all connect to the environmental movement, as, you know, the environmental movement connects to them. You know, these are all intersecting forces, and we all, even though we're fighting different fights, we all are taking part in the same battle, and we have different tactics, and that's great, that's good. We, you know, like we were talking about earlier, we all have different skills, and so when we, you know, when the people stand together, we really can do anything.
And like the IWW says, there are no jobs on a dead planet.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like true. I like to say, even birds learn not to foul their own nest.
Right. Yeah.
You know, we were in a meeting with Washington Physicians for a Social Responsibility a couple of weeks ago, and one of the concerns that they brought up to us was that Pierce County and Tacoma had no extreme heat plan, whereas there was a very well-established one in Thurston County and King County. And within the next couple of years, they're expecting multi-casualty heat events in our region. And so they're really upset that, and they're just getting pushback on creating this heat plan.
Yeah, it's terrible. Mm-hmm. It has to be addressed. So,
yeah, some events that are coming up. So Climate Alliance of the South Sound, like I said, we need to get out there, get people activated. And so we are doing a canvassing blitz and cookout. And we would love to see lots of people come talk to our neighbors in South Tacoma and enjoy some food with us, too.
And that's Sunday, September 29th. Is that right?
Yep. From 1 to 3 p.m. And that's at Wapato Hills Park, not Wapato Lake, but Wapato Hills.
And if you're like me and had never been to Wapato Hills Park before, it's a really sweet little park. So there's going to be a cookout, and then what's the order of events? Is it the canvassing first, and then everybody meets for the cookout?
Yep, we'll go canvassing for about an hour through some of the neighborhoods surrounding Wapato Hills, which is just a few blocks from the Mega Warehouse site. So these are our neighbors that are going to be most directly impacted by this construction. And it is shocking, you know, CAS goes canvassing every single week. And the last 2 weeks, we've knocked 76 houses. Wow. And it's shocking how few people know. Even after a year of canvassing, the city has done so much to keep this under wraps. And I think that's because they know it's wrong. And so.
Does that sound familiar, Darren?
Yeah. You know, the thing that upsets me the most is that fact that people don't know. And so, you know, part of our work was always, that's why we fell into media. That's why we started doing live streams. That's why we started recording stuff. That's why we made Ancestral Waters. It wasn't so we could make a movie. And at the time we made the original Ancestral Waters, it was because we'd had a lull in the movement. It had gone to court for a little while.
Yeah.
And I just really wanted to remind everyone of all the great things we had done together.
Right.
So we could continue that momentum, or if people wanted to join in. And so, you know, if people don't know that problems are happening, Eva, no one can stand up against it and stop it happening.
That's
and,
right.
And the city will put a notice that they only have, what, a 300-yard requirement on a notice. So there's a notice on a fence near you, wherever you are in the city. There's a notice on a fence that's just that you can't see because it's hidden around a corner somewhere. Mm. That's going to totally destroy your neighborhood. And this happens in the city so often. And then the city are like, well, we told everyone. We followed our rules.
We knocked on doors for over a year before we did our civil resistance about the LNG plant. Mm. And people just didn't know about it. Certainly the paper wasn't going to report on it. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember that day. I was at work. Benita calls me up. I'm heading down to the port. Six people are locked down.
Yeah.
Great day.
So I see that there's also on September 30th, this is an action spearheaded by Ramona Bennett. And she is a force to be reckoned with. She's amazing. But this is Orange Shirt Day, and that's in commemoration of the Native children that were forced into residential schools and died as a result. So that's September 30th from 3 to 5 at, I hope I pronounced this right, Gethsemane Cemetery at 37600 Pacific Highway South in Federal Way. And if you have an orange shirt, wear it. And if you don't, maybe there may be a few that are available. And then once again, the big launch, October 5th, 11 to 3, Urban Grace Church, downtown. I think that's a wrap.
Yay. Yeah. All right. Thank you so much, everyone.
Thank you guys. Yeah.
Thank you.
Really thank you for coming.
That. I enjoyed this time.
And listener, go out and do good work. And if that's a call to action, then too bad for me.
Thank you for listening.
Yeah, thank you.
And
thank
you. Cass Radio, I mean, tell me the new name again.
Climate Chat South Sound.
I'm going to have to get that in my head. Climate Chat South Sound is what you have been listening to. And it's on Radio Tacoma. Listen to us next time.